Hi, this is Niall Kennedy. Welcome to another edition of my podcast. I'm sitting here today with Brad Newberg. We're in Brad's kitchen right now. Brad's been working very hard on the Dojo Offline Toolkit, a new way of storing and syncing information offline. I guess I'll let you explain yourself and your toolkit.
Thanks, Niall. Hi, everyone. My name is Brad Newberg, and we're putting out the Dojo Offline Toolkit. It's an open source framework that makes it easy to take your existing web applications and have them work offline.
And why does the world of web apps need offline access? Mm-hmm. Aren't we always connected? And that's why we love having things like Gmail and Zimbra and everything else?
Well, you know, even here in San Francisco, which is probably one of the most connected places in the world, I struggle to find Wi-Fi and a consistent signal. So I think this idea that we're going to have 100% network strength everywhere is not realistic. Offline is about more than just the network, though. It puts you in control of your data. It means you can really begin to rely on these applications that are moving into the browser. That trend is going to continue. And if I have to make a choice between my Google Word processor or Microsoft Word, I don't want to have to learn two tools just to use one offline.
What do you think are the most useful web apps to take into an offline format?
It's interesting. Offline is really unique in the fact that it's going to be really profound in a horizontal way. It's going to affect the consumer market. So there's all these things that we all use, things like email, things like that. But in the vertical market, things that happen behind the firewall, I think it's going to have a profound impact there as well. There's an entire universe of these applications written in Visual Basic, Java Swing, that the only reason they're created that way and not on the web is because they have to work offline. And so I think this is going to have a real profound impact in the enterprise as well.
So,
and more thing. I do think we'll see, I think right now, you know, Ajax, people sort of sprinkle it like a magic pixie dust on things we already have. Like a web-based spreadsheet is not that interesting. But I do think we're going to start to see some fundamentally new applications.
So on that note, do you think this will be a graceful enhancement or will it be a requirement of some of the web apps that we'll utilize?
That's a good question. I think it's definitely going to begin to be a requirement for web applications. For websites, no, those are very different beasts. But I do think we're going to start to see a lot more activity here for good reasons.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the components of the offline toolkit, or just offline in general, because this really does apply across the board.
Yeah.
We have local storage access, and we also have the ability to synchronize what's stored locally and what might be stored on your server.
Yeah.
So let's first talk about local storage. Mm-hmm. What are the different options that are available right now?
Yeah. So for about the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been exploring how to get contemporary web browsers to store lots of information. And, you know, I've been on a mission for a couple years to get to this place, which is the offline place. And when it comes to storage, you know, we of course have the trusty cookie, which can store about 4K of information. You can think of that as being like a small text file. But when you want to go beyond that, your options have to start moving to things like using hidden flash, which can store actually megabytes of information and works quite well. And of course, Firefox 2 now has native support for storage.
And user data and IE? Is that
yes.
another option?
Yeah, that's really interesting too. You know, very few people use it. It has some interesting issues. It can only store about 64K on the wide internet.
Okay.
Behind a firewall, I think, you know, it's funny, it's hard to find reliable numbers. It can store about 640K behind a firewall, which is a funny number.
Well, that gets into some of the zoning requirements that you might have for storing something offline. When you take something and install it on your disk, you have different levels of access. It could be just to your user account. Mm-hmm. It could be to your entire hard drive. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to handle boxing in some of this local storage?
That's a great question. In Dojo Offline, we're very, very careful to take those kinds of things into consideration. So, for example, Dojo Offline installs itself into a single user's account. It makes sure that it's always running as that user account, doesn't run as root or anything like that, and that it stores its data in the user's home directories.
Mm-hmm. So cookies were first introduced as a way for someone to persist their shopping cart, and it was just a way for one of Netscape's clients, I believe, at the time, which is something to persist it over multiple sessions. And these days, we might be persisting things like email or a contact list over the multiple sessions. So how do you take some of that data and bring it down without overwhelming the user's browser experience?
It's a good question. So I think one of the natural impulses of some people is they want everything. You know, let's pull everything down. Let's pull all 10,000 emails down. But if you choose your battles, you can actually get a lot of mileage just downloading, for example, the 500 newest emails or the newest tasks or 6 months of your calendar information. And you know, I think this is a common impulse too. I think many computer programmers wait for the heavy solution when the nimble, lightweight option can get you really far. And the history of computers is that that's the one that tends to win as well.
I think you might be looking for your proto-optimal solution, where a lot of your email interaction will be with those last 500 messages in your example. Or the contacts that you view the most often. So how do you really use it so that you get a really fast access?
And you know, with some common sense, you can choose a good subset. And of course, you know, if your data set is not terribly large, if it's hundreds of K, maybe even a megabyte, if you bring it down in a realistic way, that can be fine as well. You'd be surprised when you're dealing with textual data how much 500K is. You can fit a lot in that.
So once I make adjustments to that 500K locally, I'm going to add 1K, I'm going to add a new email message or a new contact. How do I make sure that that syncs with the cloud in a responsible way?
So Dojo Offline includes a framework called Dojo Sync. And syncing... I joke around that syncing is one of those problems in computer science that if you're not careful will seriously consume you.
The mid-air collision problem is what we always run into.
Yeah, it can become a rabbit hole of perfectionism. And Dojo Offline includes a set of suggestions and a framework to help you with syncing. We've thought through a lot of the hard stuff and provided you some guideposts really to save you a significant amount of time.
So let's talk about how syncing actually works. I'm disconnected. I am making changes against a local proxy, correct? And when I reconnect, that proxy replays some of those actions that I've taken offline as if I was the whole time connecting with that original resource on your server.
Yeah, I liked a good metaphor is, you know, when you're really busy, instead of doing the task yourself, you start writing it down on a piece of paper, like a task list, right? Same thing. When you're offline, we start writing down the actions that you've done. And then when, you know, your time frees up, you can go back to that task list and you start replaying it. You start actually doing it. Same thing here. When the network reappears, we just take that list and we just replay it. And so that's a really nice way of working with things because your application adds these actions when you're offline. This could be creating a new email, editing a document. And then when you go online, you just replay them, and your software is told each item, and then you can do the appropriate thing on the network.
And when you mentioned the network, you're actually talking not about a local access point or just the existence of connectivity. You're specifically talking about connecting out to a remote resource. So you not only have to have Wi-Fi 5 out of 5 bars, but you're also trying to make sure that you can reach your web app, and that's that's really an important distinction.
It's really funny. You know, in Dojo Offline, you know, there's some unique things in there that we haven't seen in other things. I mean, a lot of people think that when you make an offline library, all you care about is whether the network is there or not. But it's a lot more subtle than that. I'm sure all of us have had the experience where you find a random Wi-Fi network and you connect to it, but it won't send anything. You can't reach a website.
Right, we're in this world of gateway pages where you can connect to the T-Mobile access point at your local Starbucks and you can get some of that local content such as downloading whatever music they happen to be selling or getting these different samples, or perhaps if you're in Squaw Valley, a local ski resort, you can look at the ski conditions for the day or when certain restaurants open and end. But if you want actual full access, you need to pay $10. And so when you're in those kind of conditions, it's important to make sure that you can go out and reach your example.com and just get your...
So what's interesting is what it really comes down to is the question is not, is the network there or not? The question is my web application reachable or not?
Sure.
And that's what Dojo Offline does. It makes sure that on a consistent basis, it's seeing that the web app is reachable If it is, then you are online. If you're not, then you're offline. And that works out really well because that's what the user cares about.
So we've seen these types of web proxies before. They typically exist in a corporate environment. There's mm-hmm. some box that sits in between the user's desktop
yes.
and the external world
yeah.
and makes sure that if you're requesting the baseball scores from ESPN, that's requested once and mm-hmm. then cached for a certain amount of time and then
yeah.
sent down to the user. And I think one of the things we see in the corporate environment, a big performance improvement if you're always hitting the same thing. So how
yeah.
will offline web applications, not just for the disconnected, I'm on an airplane or I don't have access to Wi-Fi
yeah,
experience,
yeah.
how does this change general performance on content that you're going to be accessing all the time?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think there's going to be some really cool performance, like you've said, options that this opens. So yeah, of course, the focus is offline ability, but it opens up some cool performance optimizations. I mean, you brought up one of them. The idea of having a local web proxy was directly inspired by a corporate proxy. It's like, that's caching the web pages. Why can't we do that locally? And of course, that can be used when you're online, so you don't have to fetch all these JavaScript libraries.
Yep.
They're already there. Or another unique idea is, let's say that you're updating a web-based spreadsheet. Every time you update it on the web today, it needs to make a round trip back to the server, block the user interface until it's done, and then come back. With something like Dojo Offline and Dojo Storage, you could actually store the change locally and then have a thread that's talking to the server in the background so the user interface can immediately respond. And it can also make sure that that change was saved. So you can have a much more responsive user interface and not have to force the whole application to move at the latency of that whole network. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the user interface is not set in stone. So if tomorrow yeah. you want to decide to add something new or to alter something on your server, it would be handled the same way mm-hmm. as your expires would currently.
That's what's really cool. Because we're a web proxy, what that really means is it's just standard HTTP.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you update your user interface is you just set your HTTP headers. So it's like we didn't have to invent a new offline protocol. I mean, mm-hmm. it works well. So that's a nice benefit.
So it's one of the great things about open source. You're taking advantage of things people already know and building like these
yeah.
best components.
Yes.
So in the case of JavaScript, it's something that's very visible. You can see how it works and mm-hmm. what's going on mm-hmm. behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You can combine HTTP headers that you might set inside of Apache open source server.
Right, right.
You write something inside of an open source toolkit or put that out there inside
yeah.
of JavaScript, and you're
yeah.
authoring HTML. So you're really opening this up to
yes.
a class of users that's already familiar with some of these open source tools.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the big things here. I mean, one of the big arguments I make, I make the radical argument that we don't need anything radical.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we want to bring offline to the web doesn't mean we need an entirely new programming language, a huge runtime. This is just the web with a little bit of offline sprinkled on it. And Dojo Offline is unbelievably narrow. It's a very small, open, easy framework that just does that. Won't polish your floors or, you know, cook you dinner.
Yeah.
It's
what's the process? A user's going to visit, say, your example application, Moxie,
mm-hmm.
and they want to have your example application
yeah.
take down something and start interacting offline.
Yeah.
What is the distribution for the mm-hmm. binary, for example,
mm-hmm.
and how easy is it for a user to get set up with this new environment?
Right. Well, let me just explain what Moxie is
okay.
really quick. So Moxie is one of the example applications that comes bundled with Dojo Offline, and it's a web-based word processor that's been modified to be able to work offline.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, the way it works is Dojo Offline has two pieces. It has a JavaScript piece that you have in your web page, and then it has a very small download, a small runtime. It's about 300K. And that works cross-platform. And application developers only have to work with the JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
That little runtime is independent of any application. So once a user's downloaded it, it's available for any app in a secure way. So the user experience looks like this. They go to your web application. And Dojo Offline actually bundles in a bunch of user interface help for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it does a lot of this hard stuff.
That's important because I suck at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done a lot of usability testing. And we've wrapped that into a clean user interface widget that you can drop in to help with offline. So when you go to that application, that little widget says, hey, do you want to use this application offline?
Mm-hmm.
Here's how. They click that. They're taken some instructions, which prompts them to download this little runtime. Once they do, they restart their browser, and now they can use that application. And the first time the application is opened in the browser, it syncs and downloads its data and its user interface, and now it's ready to be used offline.
And you're setting the proxy only for the site. So how do you the proxy now will be, say, example.com/moxie will be the web app that, and only that web app would be handled.
So we're really respectful, right? I mean, you could imagine a heavyweight proxy situation that mm-hmm. caches everything. We're very respectful. We make sure that when we install, that little proxy is running. But the browser is doing its normal thing. It's talking on the web. And we use a special trick to get the browser to only talk through the little proxy for websites that want to work offline. So that means that a user doesn't have to feel that their data is inappropriately in the proxy. It's only by their choice to use an app offline that it's in there.
Okay. One of the things I've seen already, Firefox 3 is going to be mm-hmm. shipping. Not it's Firefox 2 currently has support for the What Working Group and their DOM support. So that allows you to have some offline storage.
Mm-hmm.
And then Firefox 3 that's going to add the event handlers.
Uh-huh.
And some people are already starting to change the markup of their page to have an mm-hmm. offline resource designation.
Yeah, yeah. So
am I going to need to do things twice? Once for Firefox and once for the Dojo toolkit?
Well, one thing that's cool about Dojo storage, we talked about earlier, is it already encapsulates and uses the Firefox 2 stuff for storage.
Okay.
For Firefox 3, we're actually in communication with them, Brendan Eich, the team at who's working on Firefox 3, about having Dojo offline be the cross-platform story. So with Firefox 3, you have it natively supported,
mm-hmm.
and then something like Dojo offline makes it universally accessible. There's a strong possibility that we're going to use the underlying API if it's there.
Okay, so if I already marked up my CSS, for example, as RHEL offline resource, that's one step on the way to working with the Dojo toolkit as well.
Yeah. I mean, right now, the way you add files for Dojo offline is a simple method call. But we could transition into that link rel. It's straightforward.
Sure.
Yeah, but we're definitely in communication with them. And you know, one of the things about Dojo offline is it's meant to sort of break this logjam that we have with innovation on the web. It's just so hard to get innovations out on the web. Mm-hmm. It takes years. So, you know, let's bring the future here now a little quicker. That's what we're trying to do.
So I have a recent quote from you from one of your talks. If we're having users download entire server stacks onto their client-side machine, we have failed.
Yeah.
And I think you're directly targeting some of the competition, or people might see as competition. We're seeing Adobe releasing their Apollo application in the fall. Basically targeting ActionScript developers and people that are already very familiar with the Flash environment. And Zimbra is releasing the Zimbra desktop, which takes SQL client and EJB server and a lot of very heavy things, place them on the user desktop.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think those are not the right solutions for users?
Well, both things. I mean, obviously, yes. I I do have opinions, and they are competition. It's also true that I respect them. I mean, they're Zimbra and Deco and Adobe Apollo and Slingshot. These are all interesting toolkits. They have interesting pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
My own personal opinion is that as soon as we're downloading an entire server stack onto the client, that starts getting really intense. Those are very complicated systems. You know, if we have PHP and MySQL and Java running locally, you know, I'm concerned about the security issues and things like that. Adobe Apollo is not quite within that because it doesn't promote downloading a server stack.
Right.
That one's interesting. Adobe Apollo, I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
So with Adobe Apollo, you're downloading WebKit, you're downloading a Flash player, and you're downloading a PDF player.
Yes.
So you are getting a new application bundle, some of which might already be on your machine.
Yes.
That's typically about a 10 megabyte download, I believe, that you're taking down.
Right.
And then you're running what they call AIR files,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And using that as your interface to talk back. So some of the same technology, actually, that would be inside of the Dojo toolkit with mm-hmm. the Flash cookies is there with access to the local file system.
And we've talked a little bit with the Adobe team about what it means to hook in to that. You know, I want to be careful. We could hook into lots of different things, but I want to make sure the Dojo offline stays focused.
One thing that it raises,
yeah.
Is this a question of going with whatever you're most comfortable with? If there's something like Slingshot that's specifically designed for people that are already comfortable with the Ruby on Rails environment,
yeah.
Or you'd have something like Apollo, which is built for people that are comfortable with ActionScript 3.
Right.
And then you would have something like Zimbra, which their stack, although it's originally designed for Zimbra, it's open for other people to use,
right.
Might be best for the J2ME developers.
Right.
So do you think that this is, for people thinking about getting involved in the offline game, is it best to go with whatever they're already familiar with, whatever tools they have on hand, or do they need to look at the best of breed and try and migrate towards that solution?
That's interesting. I mean, there's a bunch of things. I don't believe in silver bullets.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I don't believe in one global solution. The other thing is, you know, I'm always humble, too. You know, people make great applications in places that I don't expect. I do believe that when it comes to offline access, that needs to be very light, and that offline access, they should just be web applications, that they should live inside the browser. And I do think things like Adobe Apollo and Slingshot, these are not browsers. They live outside the browser. And I don't think that's appropriate for offline. I do think there's probably other cool stuff you can build with them.
Mm-hmm.
Other, you know, I really see Adobe Apollo as essentially building applications but using web technologies. They're not websites. They're, instead of using C++, you would use Adobe Apollo.
Sure, that's what I've seen so far.
Yeah,
as well.
And I think there's going to be cool stuff, but I think... Because you have to trust your complete machine to these applications. They're still applications. So I think it's definitely something worth keeping an eye on. I think they're different.
One of the things I've seen in some of your demos, you've already taken some existing web apps such as Gmail, mm-hmm. and tried to convert them to this new process using some of the hacks that are out there.
Well, we should be careful.
Okay.
Some people misinterpret that. Those were actually mock-ups.
Okay.
Yeah. So we kicked off the project by doing a bunch of mock-ups. In order to ground it in usability and real stuff.
So what I'm trying to get to is I thought maybe you've tried this with some other things, and what's mm-hmm. the conversion process like? What's the total amount of time
right.
it might take to take an application such as Gmail or an online calendar and move mm-hmm. this to the Dojo Offline toolkit?
Well, first off, you know, Dojo Offline is definitely a developer toolkit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that a programmer hooks in to make their web app work offline. With that said, there's two interesting possibilities that I've thought of. I'm sure they'd get me in trouble. But one is that you, on your own server, you proxy Gmail. And when Gmail talks through you, you add the offline stuff in. You mm-hmm. can think of it as a server-side grease monkey.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't know what grease monkey is, it's a way to mess around with websites to do your own stuff, but it's usually
sure.
on the client side.
You add additional things in there.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to, inside of a search result, see a link to Yahoo Maps, for mm-hmm. example, you mm-hmm. can do that.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think it's called Web2OS. They have a local process running that can dynamically insert code into a website that you're talking to.
Okay.
And so they've played around with Gmail that way. It's interesting. Dojo Offline, here's how Dojo Offline, if you're like, I want to add offline, I want to do it quickly, I don't want to do anything radical.
Mm-hmm.
Dojo Offline is really good for that. You know, you don't have to, it's just JavaScript, it's just web programming.
Mm-hmm.
It's focused like that.
And option number two, if you wanted to jumpstart, I suppose there's a company called SitePen that might be able to help you with that.
Yes. So Dojo Offline has been a collaboration between SitePen and I. And SitePen is actually, you know, it's real open source consulting. I mean, these are the Dojo guys.
Right. Can you explain SitePen a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on?
So SitePen is great. It is started by Dylan Scheinman and Alex Russell, both the co-founders of Dojo. And SitePen is where we apply our expertise. You know, we've been creating all these amazing toolkits that push the web, and then we actually apply it to real customers' needs. And so Dojo Offline is a big part of that. SitePen's been working on it. We've been working on it together, and we're starting to apply it for customers.
Yeah, so you can go your own way, or you can get SitePen to help do it for you, or maybe a mix of the two.
And that's a really unique thing, too, is that we're not a product company. You know, ultimately, this is an open source project
sure.
backed by consulting, and you know, we don't compete with you. We're your toolkit makers.
All right. Well, thanks, Brad. I think this gives people a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And maybe look at upgrading their apps to include offline.
Yeah, let me give the URL.
Sure.
It's Dojo Toolkit, dojotoolkit.org/offline, OFFLINE. And that should go live either today or possibly Monday.
Okay. And we'll have links on the website as well for everyone to follow along. If you just want to see everything that we've talked about, you'll see all of that.
So, yeah.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. Thank you now. Thanks, everyone.